You ain't gonna just.
Then,
meeting, and we pray right now that it go out according to your will. This we ask and bless you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and welcome to the board workshop. And I don't need to remind you, at a workshop, we don't vote, and we don't make decisions, we discuss, and then listen, folks. I want to go to number 3 on the agenda, which is to recognize Tom Connolly from the Florida League of Cities, who presented recently updated county asset survey. Tom, you're the one to have it.
Okay. You want to give any background?
You want to give a little background on the one?
Well,
you can do it from there. This is
okay. So I would say back in November, probably, Mr. Connolly came to see me and advised that we had not updated our asset survey, which is our property insurance, since 2014. And I'm not sure. And I'm not sure that the board received an update when that asset survey was completed. There seems to be some uncertainty about that. So he agreed to have all of our assets, everything updated, and is here to give us the news, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. And the good thing out of all this is we did identify at least one building that for some reason was not included on the survey and needs to be. So we just wanted to deliver the information to the board, and after this we'll ask for some direction from the board, and there will be some of the buildings that we'll need to go ahead and add prior to budget workshops.
Okay, thanks for I only said the prep, but the update.
Yes.
Introduction to what Tom was talking about.
All right. So this is the report that is the result of doing the asset survey. The reason we do an asset survey is because if you leave your property policy alone year after year, well, for one, you'll build things or acquire things, and then you won't get them added to your policy, and then when you go to file a claim, there won't be any coverage. So someone needs to stay on top of getting buildings added, and the second part of that is keeping them properly insured to current construction, reconstruction costs. If year after year after year goes by, your buildings are gonna, construction costs generally keep rising. If you're not, our policy doesn't have a an inflation guard like a homeowner's policy does, where it bumps up a few percent every year. So a few years go by, haven't paid attention, the building values can fall behind, and then you can get into a problem with not carrying proper insurance and the claims not going to be properly paid because of what they call a co-insurance penalty. So we did one of these, we call it we don't use the word appraisal because we're not doing a property appraisal. This is to determine replacement cost of your assets. And we did one back in, we're trying to do them every 5 years. Did one back in 2014. It was presented to your prior administrator, and I don't know that any action was ever taken. And I say that because now, here we are 5 years later, we've done another one for you, and I hope that we'll get some action on this one, because otherwise we're in that scenario where things are falling behind, okay?
Excuse me, Tom, can you explain to the board what the meaning of the co-insurance penalty?
Okay.
Because I know that's misleading.
Right. There's two types of ways to set up your property policy. Ideally, you have what's called blanket slash agreed amount. And the benefit of having that kind of policy is that, let's say you have a building that's $1 million, what it would take to replace it, but you only had it on the policy at $700,000, let's say, and then it burned down. If it takes more than that $700,000, actually takes $1 million, we would have to pay the $4 million or $1.2 million or whatever it might end up costing. That's definitely the kind of policy you want to have, because it takes the burden off of your shoulders to make sure everything is insured exactly right, and puts it on us to make sure we're collecting proper premium and, you know, covering you properly. But we can't write that kind of policy until we know we've got everything insured to adequate values. So what you have currently is a co-insurance policy, which
is too small.
Can you make it a little bigger?
Make it a little larger?
Bring me the mouse and let me try one little trick.
I need the large, but the top is just all you need.
Now,
do
you have a printout of it,
the one? No, but I'll get you.
The thing about this report is it's so much better to look at online. When you print it, it does Excel when it spreads out over like 8 sheets.
It's very hard to read when you print it out. But
okay.
We'll play with it and get you one.
But what about making the screen full?
It is full on the computer. It's just the projection to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we can see the number now.
Is that better?
That's a little better.
So I don't think having to do
time.
A lot of scrolling, but
yeah.
In and out or something, I think.
See if I can do this with just that little bit showing.
I know you want to see it bigger, but I need to see more of the screen in order to show you what I'm trying to do. But your first location on your schedule, let me finish that description first. You have right now a policy with co-insurance. So if you, and thinking about this a lot because of Hurricane Michael, you know, those poor folks are still cleaning up over there. And a couple of the counties over there had not made the move yet to a blanket policy. I'm thinking specifically of Gadsden and Liberty, and I think Calhoun to a lesser degree. In Gadsden County, for example, they had a horse arena that's like $800,000. They only had it on the policy for $200,000. And it had about $100,000 of damage, something like that. So we're all under that co-insurance penalty. They were only carrying 200. They should have been carrying 800, so that's only a fourth of what they should have been carrying, so we can only pay a fourth of their damage. So had they done their assets survey and gotten it up to date and agreed to the values, we would have been able to pay for the full loss. So that's a good example of how a co-insurance penalty works if you're not keeping up with your policy. Okay, so.
Mike, a couple of times when you can't afford the full coverage, as we call it, you have to take the co-insurance part.
Yeah, and I'm not telling you have to insure every single thing you have, but if you're going to insure them, you need to insure them to the right amount, because no one's happy when we're coming out saying we can't pay the full thing. You're not happy because you're not going to get the full value. So if you're carrying some insurance on the location, I think you ought to carry the right amount so you can have the right kind of policy.
Yeah, we can pick and choose which one we want to go to the higher full coverage on. Which asset?
You could pick and choose which things to insure at all. Which that's kind of part two of your of this conversation is there are several pretty large county locations that are not currently insured. I think you've dodged some bullets here lately. These storms that kind of were starting to come here would have been a mess for some of these locations that were not insured at all. But we don't typically try to beat up members about, you know, if you're a little bit low on your coverage, you're not going to get into a co-insurance unless it was something severe like that horse arena was, where they were a quarter of what they should be carrying. So, but like the first location, how did you make it bigger? Because I want to scroll back out to be able to see the whole thing. Yeah. All right, so just as an example, your first location you have insured is the jail.
I see it shows the new county jail. That building was put there in 89, I believe it was. Yes. But you insured it for the replacement cost if you had to replace it.
Right.
Correct. So, the way this report works, you know, I know you don't need to see a picture of the jail, but that's part of the report. So all these items on here, if you're looking through this and you don't know what that, you can't figure out what location they're talking about. If this modular storage building, let's see what that is.
So Tom, if this says new, that means that it is not currently insured.
Right.
Okay. So the word new means it's not insured at all.
The jail one?
No.
No. Well, no. See, jail is scheduled. It just needs to be bumped up a little bit. It's not a big deal. It's behind. It's an 8-9. It's really more of a $10 million building.
I can't read the description of what its asset is. Perimeter fence. Storage buildings.
This is more asset note, so if you hover over that, it gives you more. There's not going to be much to explain on that, but that's fencing. You know, the guys, when they go out and do this, they're charged with pointing out everything that's not attached to something else and assigning a value to it. It doesn't mean we're saying you've got to insure the fencing out there, but it's technically not insured. You've got a little bit of coverage. It's a freebie if you have a building at that location. But because there's so much fence, it's really almost $70,000 worth of fencing. You're not going to lose all that fence at once unless you have a hurricane that just...
Since we're having some difficulty looking at the slide,
yeah.
For my benefit, point out some big uninsured items that we've got.
Okay.
You can.
Well, this look, these... An address on file is all this 001. That's the first address on file. So that's the jail. And then this vehicle pavilion, that's insured. All these other things are not technically spelled out as wanting specific coverage on them. So, for example, if you had a claim on this garage building here, we would say it's not on the schedule. Because it's
a separate one we tore down?
I don't believe so. Well,
that's not
the road to park. Let's look at a picture of it.
No, sir. This is at a jail location.
Oh, okay. Mm. So, well, that's a $79,000 building. The premium for each location is all the way over here at the right, so that will help you decide do we want to fool with insuring that or not. But my point for now is at the jail, you've got two things, which you've got all 8 to 10 other things that are not currently scheduled. Okay, next location is the airport. So you've got 1, 2, 4, 5 things on file. And then there's fencing, modular building, storage buildings, equipment building, generator, and all that, all these various things. unless we can see the whole screen, it's hard for me to keep going back and forth. I know we identified a couple of things in our conversation that were to answer your question.
So well, I
this
believe
is, this is how it's laid out is my address on file.
At the sports complex, the concession buildings are not insured.
I think actually there was not a single thing out there insured, right? Let me get down there.
There
that.
Were several things that were not insured.
Well,
so some of them are at the sports complex.
This must be it here, the
yes.
014.
Right. So the lights are insured. One or two of the concession buildings are insured, but the basketball courts are not insured. The tennis courts are not insured. At least one restroom building is not insured. The pedestrian bridge is not covered. And it kind of goes on and on. So everything in yellow, that's all at the sports complex that is not insured.
So to answer an example.
I have a question. Okay, we're individually insuring little pieces of property of the county, all right? The sports complex is very important in that is liability covering the entire sport complex, or are we not covering the...
this is property.
This is not liability.
Let me finish.
Okay.
This is real important. If the refreshment stand is not covered... Oh, we got a gap in not being insured for liability if somebody slips and falls there. Okay, all right. The other question I have is this, with individual insurance on each little thing, then it appeared to me that we also need to find things that are no longer there that
right.
they have on the list that we're getting, that we're insuring that don't even need to be insured. Because...
Yeah, right.
We can't get a blanket policy on all our properties in Taylor County instead of having this, you know, we're going to insure this one thing and insure this one thing, because that's a nightmare.
Yeah. The reason not to cover things, like you might say, why don't we just say sports complex, $300? Well, then think about when you have a hurricane claim, it's a percentage of your coverage. So it's a 3% deductible or 5% deductible. So if you're saying 5% of $3 million, that's a very large deductible. It's much better to say 3% of $100,000 than 3% of $3 million, for example.
Right,
that's the reason to break it all out.
How about a deductible on each claim?
Well, that's the case except for named storm. Then it becomes a percent deductible.
Oh, man.
LaJuan,
every property policy in Florida is that way.
And it's ridiculous, but, you know... That's the way it is. I understand that, but I mean, it's really, really, as our taxpayers paying this year after year after year, having to keep up with each improvement or each deletion, so we're covered. That's a lot of work for our staff, you know, as a practical matter, you know. And don't get me wrong, FACT's been very helpful to us. Over the years. I'm not complaining about that, but it's just a lot of work. And I just don't want my client to get caught up in a technicality. That's not covered. You know?
Well, I'm trying to help
and I appreciate
right now, it's very piecemeal. You've got something here, something there, something here, a lot of things not covered.
Let me interrupt you, Mr. Connolly. I have a question for our administrator. If we continue the process that Tim's laying out for us, we're going to be here 8 hours.
That wasn't the intent.
That's not our intent. I don't have 8 hours tonight. Could you and staff go over this and come back to the board and another workshop soon, mm-hmm. and say these are the priority items, mm-hmm. sort of condense it, here's what we need to do, board. We've got these properties that are not insured, we need to add them to the list. We no longer own some properties, let's take those off. Kind of condense this a little bit.
Sure, and just, now Tom can correct me if I'm wrong, but we do have some coverage. If there's a fence at the sports complex that gets hit by a car, there is a dollar value limit that FACT will pay now because it's attached to the sports complex, correct?
Correct.
It's 25.
Although, let me correct you by saying it's not FACT, it's FMIT.
I'm sorry, FMIT.
Right. If you, the way the policy is now, if you have a building at an address on file, then you have coverage requirement in the open, which will cover all your small items up to $25,000 per item or per loss. So that'll, if you cover the concession stand, like you asked, what's something that's something large that's not insured? You see that concession restroom right there? It's $500,000 building. It's not currently insured, but if you said let's add it, it's a priority item, then you get $25,000 for fences and bleachers and lights and scoreboards for your minor claims. But then you have to schedule everything and keep
right some of the newer things. Like is the supervisor of elections building insured?
I
remember offhand.
The big one.
The biggest one that
supervisor of elections is on there.
Yes.
Courthouses?
Yes.
Sure.
The Enachi Community Center, that was a big one that was not.
It is not insured.
The Shady Grove Community?
No, the Steinhatchee Community Center is not insured.
And that's county owned?
Yes.
What, Historical Society?
Historical Society?
I think it's on the list.
What about Shady Grove Community Center?
It's on,
it's on there?
Yes.
What about when you have something like Fort Capital Home just got a new generator put out there? Is that insured?
It should be to a certain extent, but we try to be very careful about making sure that we add things to the policy. But the reason for us to come tonight is just bring it to the board's attention that we think we have some opportunities that we need to address, which is what I said back in February, that we need to have another asset survey and take a look at this. And we need to get some sense of, do we want to have a blanket policy? And how much will that cost? And so to bring everything up to speed for the remainder of the fiscal year as of May 2nd, it would be $19,000. And then
a little bit less now because that was
almost a month ago. Yeah. Yes.
Say that again now. It would cost us $19,000, you think, to bring where we need to be?
Yes, sir. But the plan is for Danielle and I to sit down and go line by line through this survey.
Okay.
And really get a sense of what we need to add now. And then we can consider, depending on the cost, throughout the budgeting process, if we want to consider a blanket policy.
I'd like to see the number.
Yes.
I don't want to say that from an insurance man, but I was surprised at that figure. That was $19,000. That was the increase.
Well, that's not for the blanket policy. That's just to bring
that's
us.
That's what I mean.
Right.
We can get by with that.
Yeah.
All right. Is it all right with the board if we instruct staff, Lawanda, to work with Danielle and go through all of this?
Yeah.
And then if that budget period is coming up at that point in time or sooner? Bring it back.
I'm fine with that. I'd love to see it done item by item and see
the
comparison from a blanket policy compared to individual policy.
Right.
Because thinking the Steinhatchee Center is not injured and are scary.
It's scary. And if that thing were to burn,
half $1 million bill?
We need to remember as individual board members, we got a fiduciary responsibility here. And one of those is that we need to look out for the affairs of the county, that's our number one responsibility.
Agreed.
And it's going to look awfully embarrassing on the front page of the newspaper. Steinhatchee Community Center burns, county didn't have any insurance.
And that's hard for me to fathom that hasn't been insured. I don't know if something's happened with that. I mean, that's hard for me to fathom that we don't have insurance. But we need to delve into all that and then basically just come down to asking the board to give us some guidance of how much risk you want to carry or if you want to pay an additional premium for a blanket policy where basically, I mean, it covers just about everything, correct? And I think we threw some numbers around last week.
If you wanted, I'm not telling you anything you should do this, but all those little things, if you just said put everything on there, it was another $60,000 a year.
Right. Another 60?
Yes.
Another that was light. Everything. Every little fence, every little light, you know. You've got to figure out what you're comfortable paying for yourself and what you want us to pay for you.
How do we go ahead and do the community center to get that on the paperwork? I
mean, we will.
Yeah, how long does that take, I mean, to get it?
We can get it added. I mean, all we have to do is send it to League of Cities, right?
Just send me an email and put it on there. Yeah.
So you can handle that without the board having to wait?
Yes, sir. And that's something Danielle and I will do ASAP. But this is more, we need some direction moving forward. This is really just about risk. How much risk is the board comfortable taking? It could be that you want to say anything that's valued under $50,000, I'll pull a number out of the air. We don't necessarily need to cover, you know, to pay the premium on that.
Okay. You can look at increasing your deductible. It's $1,000 right now. So if you wouldn't file a claim for $1,000, then increase that deductible, save a little money.
All right. Is it all right? If we have staff work with Tim on all this. Okay, any other questions for us?
It needs to be done as soon as possible.
Especially the business center.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Lalana's going to take care of that. She's going to do that soon.
The new generator at the Fort Scott Hall, don't forget that new addition there. It needs to be.
It's a nice generator.
Generally, Danielle and I work together to make sure items are added, and she has a copy of the purchase order. I think that just through the years, maybe, you know, this wasn't communicated to finance. I don't know. This is more about to make sure that, you know, we are updated and moving forward. We have a good plan. This is the housekeeping for us.
Okay, board, any questions, Mr. Connelly, before we go to the next item?
At this time.
Okay. All right, thank you, Tim.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you.
This is an informal meeting. Well, I see that our friends and Derek's are here. You're not on the agenda tonight, but I think it would be appropriate, since I understand maybe y'all have been here twice today, that you get to come up next. John, you and Gail, we'll come together and secretly.
Yeah.
We'll give you what seems like.
I'm getting down yesterday and Sunday. We took some pictures of the bridge down there.
Okay. Come on up to the podium.
By the way, he's a,
show us what you got.
He's a good paddler.
Who's that? Sean is a good paddler?
Yeah. We paddled my little John boat underneath the bridge.
It's not so hard.
Look at it real good.
What's wrong with that?
Okay.
Is that Sean in the boat? That's him.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're sort of medium tide. It's supposed to low tide at 225, but it didn't really go out much. But the first payday, you can see, basically, the bridge is in pretty good shape except for the walls of it.
The abutments.
Do you agree there?
Yes.
Is that right? And if you look on the second page here, I don't have a number, but it's in the same order. Those are 10 by 12 timbers holding the deck up. And it runs 8 across. What? And on one end, and then there's 8 more of them on the other end. What you're looking at the second page, that's the center instead of the, and it looks like a funny lighting and everything. That's the cracks from the decking on top. They're 3x6 now for the decks. On the third page, you can see that side looks pretty good on that side. A third page, this one here. And then,
is that a rope or a cable?
Cable.
Cable. Yeah, on the fourth page, that's what it's supposed to look like. You're supposed to have a cable around there. It runs out to a dead man, which is probably a cross tie or power pole or something, buried in the
A lot of concrete around.
Yeah.
Are the cables in pretty good shape, or are they rusted out?
That's the problem. Go to the next page there, and you can see what happened. It rusted out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the timbers are pretty good shape. What do you think, son?
The structure seems relatively decent. What I see there is the cable supports, what we're looking at, these steel cables here, have rusted and broken away. And what that has done is the bulkhead anchor system that's in that road there, there's nothing holding that bridge together. It's pulled loose, all the support systems pulled loose.
So that makes the wall?
Creates an anchor. So it's actually decreasing pressure. It's not adding pressure. It's decreasing the pressure load. So with these cables rusting out, it's caused that wall. There's no support for that wall. The bulkheads are still there. The road, because the road is there.
Is it fixable rather than the tear out?
I am not an engineer.
Yeah, that we need to hear.
But what I recommend is that we get estimates on the cost of repair. The reason why I say repair is people need an evacuation route out of there. When you come into the entrance, you're in a low level. Where the bridge is in the back, that's your high point. So to get out, they have to actually go through the negative side of the floodplain. What it boils down to is safety. The way out. And I'm pretty sure there's other places in the county that need to be done as well.
You're the commissioner from down there.
Yes, sir.
You think we need to go outside of our engineering department and get an assessment?
Correct.
Of how they can correct?
I think that we need to have three independent assessments. Just like if you're getting a job pitched privately, you ask three different opinions and then you formulate and see where you want to go with the money. I think we need to have somebody come and look at this and find out what it's going to cost, at least from three different angles, three different separate entities. That way we can get three different numbers.
You know, these consultants now don't come free.
I understand that. But if it's of great importance to the community.
I think it's very important that we don't have a safety issue there.
There we are.
And my preference would be looking at those big timbers that look pretty solid to me.
It looks good.
Somehow or other, I think it probably could be repaired.
I believe so.
Because I'm like you, I'm not an engineer. And we might, by the time you pay the consultants, to pay the repair, you might be better off to take the option that's already been presented to us and take the bridge out and just replace it with another wooden bridge.
Understood.
But you don't know that until you have the work done.
Right.
LaWanda, advise us what to do.
I mean, we're taking our guidance from DOT, and they have been performing assessments on the bridge for some time and have noted the deteriorating condition. And I think the concern is not what you see on the surface, but what's going on underneath the water. And my understanding when the bridge was rebuilt is that we can only set the pilings down so deep because of the rock. And my understanding from staff was that if we rebuild the bridge like it's built now, then we would just have to build it again in another 6 to 10 years because we can't get the pilings deep enough. So, I mean, we could look at some costs for estimates to repair.
My thinking is, I'd like to have the lady from DOT that's been assisting Ms. Duke. I'd like to have her maybe come, if she will, and explain to us what their engineering position is on. Can you repair this bridge and make it safe? Because if we wait for DOT to fund the concrete $1.6 million bridge, that's wait 7 years. That's too long to ask these people to wait. So I'm willing to do what I can to try to make it safe for everybody to get out of there and to use this bridge, wood bridge, preferably if we can repair the one we've got to get 7 years out of us at a not an astronomical amount of money. If not, tear it out and do another wood bridge.
And I believe we got a cost estimate to do that, but the concern is that if we do that now, then we would remove our chances of getting DOT funding for a permit.
I've heard information to the contrary, that this will not affect our ability to
once it's funded.
Once it's funded. You call on Mr. You talked to the lady over at DOT.
Last Thursday,
we have spoken.
Jay and I went over.
We spoke several times with Melissa Morgan at DOT on the.
Melissa Morgan?
Melissa Morgan is in charge of our small bridges in the rural county. And she has spoken to me on the phone several times. And we were going to Jacksonville this last week on Wednesday. And so I asked if we could just stop by and maybe talk with an engineer or something. And she said, sure. She's just really a wonderful person and wants to be very helpful. And so she had a Mr. Hammond, who's an engineer over there, meet with us, and we'll go over. And we met for over an hour and a half. And John put out ideas. But he's a professional engineer. He understands structures. And they also, either he or his brother, probably treated those timbers. You kind of pointed out to Malcolm today when I spoke with him that you can't find lumber like that anymore. Or to begin with, they cut these trees way early, they're hybrids, and back then, whenever that was built, those are huge timbers underneath there. But they're well aware of that, and she had pictures, just like our pictures, and we had more pictures than she did, so we shared. She made copies of ours, and also of our petitions. We took over there, and she said that that in their view, that the top of the bridge, the deck, is fine. I mean, it hadn't been down in the water or anything. It's good. And the main thing that gave way is just like I was telling her that when we first, after the storm of the century, it ripped up everything at Steinhatchee. That we didn't have insurance back then, but we just bit the bullet and went ahead and replaced the seawall. And we built a little pavilion, not big, out there. And it was the first experience I had with dead men, you know, those weight that you... And that was what was holding that bulwark back on each side. They're those big, strong cables. And what they did, in our, they came in our yard, they dug a deep hole, put a big timber down there, or something that was heavy. And then they attached with those cables the pavilion. Well, all these years and all the storms since, that has never washed away. I am not bragging about it. But anyway, that is what gave way. And there is no reason they can't go, when they agree, down that road again, and you just dig a trench and you put a concrete piece or, you know, iron railings, or you put something that will take a long time to rot. And then by that time, she said making that bridge drivable will not hurt our chances at all. And she even said, you know, I said, well, you know, she knows that I go up and I testify up and if I think something's important. And she said that can be helpful. We talked to Mr. Monford and different ones, and you can go and help us ask for help. What they want to do is so we are not competing.
We'll give you a couple more minutes. We've got a long agenda.
Okay. Right. So we're not competing with the big bridges. What she's trying to work out is so that they have a pool of smaller bridges that are competing against each other. But at best, it's going to be, we know it's going to be 5 years. It will be 5 years after it's funded. She told me that they can go through, and you all know all about this, I learned today. They have a funding source that she said Lafayette County recently took advantage of. Or maybe it wasn't recently, sometime they did this, not long ago. And this small county outreach program.
Scott.
Where, yes, and you just get, you go ahead and do the work, and then you get refunded later.
And thank you.
They just did a bridge for Lafayette County. And,
Our bridge or road work or something.
Yeah, it was a bridge.
But she is wonderful, and I really would advise you that it would be a good thing, like Malcolm suggested, and I think Jim had said that. And also want to thank Sean for coming down there.
Yeah, thank you.
Because that was so important to lay eyes on what you're talking about. If Jim went down
all right,
there.
All right, I spent an hour down there today looking at the red from one end to the other.
Sean, we're going to look for you for some leadership, and I'm going to support you if anything's reasonable to provide some relief for these citizens on the bridge. And we've got to get Mr. Dudley on board.
Can I meet
him? We use Scott's program all the time. I didn't know that you could do the work and get reimbursed later. Mm-hmm. Well, that may be an avenue we have to look at, but it's going to take some money. However we do it. Yes.
Just one more thing?
One more thing.
Okay, to save that top, I was trying to think, you get a crane in there, you got to do work underneath the other side. So save the top, which is in good shape. I was thinking maybe a crane. Well, the engineer just took out his pencil and he said, look, you can do stack, and it's called something, stack something. Anyway, you just build, like you're lifting a house, and you do it one board at a time, like they did our house after Hermine. Anyway, somehow they four points. You just put those under the bridge, and that holds it in place while they're working on that sidewalk. And when we did all the extensive 70-foot sites, our lot's not big, 70 feet across down there. We did all of that extensive work across the front. All of it was, I think, that the seawall back in '93 was something like $5,000. Darius Cooley. And he even put some cement over big cracks, and then the pavilion was like 25. It doesn't have to cost a fortune. All they need to do is have it fixed properly with good people that know what they're doing. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, I think we're making progress. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
For these folks have been longtime friends, not that that's supposed to make any difference. Try to help good folks when you can. By the support of all commissioners when we can.
Can I read to you from an email I received from Mr. Dudley, just to clarify?
Sure.
It reads, Mrs. Morgan clarified that until the bridge is funded and not just a candidate, we should not remove the bridge if we hope to have them fund its replacement. We can make minor temporary repairs to prevent further or associated damage, but nothing to the point that has a major impact on the structural integrity of the bridge, as that aspect makes up 60% of the current ranking criteria, but would only hurt its funding chances in the long run. Further, and this is the important part of our concern is that if we disturb the structure in an attempt to make repairs, we run the risk of getting into more cost than anticipated if, say, the abutment walls were to fail completely from excavation or equipment loading. So the concern is if we, from what I understand, was that if there's an attempt made to repair the bridge, that we get into an issue where we further damage the bridge, and then until the bridge is funded, that would preclude our chances of getting funded. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does. Life is a risk.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to clarify our
information. You go out there and you try to make something better, and something's going to cave in on you. So it's a decision the board will make. I appreciate Kenneth sending us that information. What I read is it is all right if we can go in there and make some temporary repairs.
We can.
And unless some catastrophic event happens, that's not going to affect the outcome on down the line.
In the period until it's funding, right now it's a candidate. Okay. So from now until it's funded, we can make minor repairs. The And from what I understand from what his email and what staff has said, the concern is that the repairs need to be made as far as the abutment walls, that if we try to repair, that we'll get into more of an issue and possibly ruin our chances of being funded from DOT. But if the board decides to replace the bridge, that's a moot point.
Okay. I know that's pretty close to the mountain. It could be fixed.
I think it could.
I mean, the cables are rusting too. When they go back, put stainless cables, dig that dirt behind that seawall right there back, pull them, pile them back, put new stainless cables on them, four new dead men, and then fill the lime rock back in behind it. I mean, it'll support vehicles. I mean, it'll support a vehicle right now.
We got a friend. I think it's doable. Thank you, Lawanda.
Thank you.
Did you have Kenneth? Thanks for that information.
Thank you.
All right,
y'all,
that's good.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Now, we're making progress. We're on number four, the board to discuss the Florida Department of Transportation 5-year work program. This is item four. The one, your DOT.
See if I can explain this in a way that I don't confuse all of us. Back in January, I believe, we submitted our top three priorities for the DOT 5-year work program, and that's for year 2023. And we received communication back from DOT, I think I supplied the board with a copy of the email, that our number one priority was not chosen as a project, that our number two priority, which is McDaniel Road, actually was vetted out and was recommended to be put on the priority list. Or actually to be funded.
Yeah.
Now, the issue is DOT will not make these
calls.
Well, we have to change our list basically to receive the funding. Okay. So the way they explained it to me was that McDaniel Road ranked in the top 10 out of about 50 projects submitted. So
Frank Warrior Road, if I read this correctly, they're not able to fund it at this time.
Because it did not make that top 10 cut. So it's not, so it's, the wording is a little misleading. It's not because of the cost of the project, from what Ms. Schubert explained to me. It's because it did not vet out when you compare the crash data, the road conditions, the field conditions, and all the criteria that they use. So the only project that we submitted that they would agree to fund is McDaniel Road, which means in order to receive the funding, we have to change the order of the priority list.
Okay.
Now, if you agree to do that and move McDaniel Road to number one, then next year Spring Warrior Road can be our number one priority.
So I think it's 1.3 mile McDaniel Road's in my district. The other road is, I thought they weren't going to fund it because it's 6.3 miles.
Not according to what she said today. She said that, they have a limited amount of funding.
Yeah.
They probably would not fund all 6 miles, but they, if the Spring Warrior Project had ranked higher, they would have agreed to repair, to fund some part of it.
Yeah.
And then we would either just have part of that road repaved, or we would come up with a difference.
Well, I'm just reading, it says, since we cannot fund your number one project priority, which was the Spring Warrior, would the county like to reprioritize and then do the McDaniel Road? That's their question to us.
Correct, because they will only fund the number one priority. So if we change them.
I went and looked at McDaniel Road, and if a real good road compared to Industrial Drive or Spring Warrior Road. It's wider and better shape. The only thing they said, questioning them, was the crash data was what made the difference.
Right.
Okay. And the road leading into it. But
I can't see
it. I can't see it. If we have to do it to stay in the sunshine with them and stay on their page, we need to do it that way. You know, we need to put my name on road, but it don't even have a hole in it.
It's not a bad road.
It's not a bad road. It's not a big traffic road.
It doesn't have near the traffic of it that industrial drive.
Industrial drive is a major thing.
But evidently it must have been built years and years before for them to think it's ranks number one in priority.
Well, one of the big factors from what they told me today was the crash data.
On McDaniel?
On McDaniel, there were four crashes that were not alcohol related.
What part of McDaniel? It's got one curb in it.
From what DOT told me this afternoon, there were four crashes in 5 years. Spring Warrior had one in 5 years, and Industrial had three. So that was...
We don't want to lose the money, so if we have to do McDaniel, of course, it would be all right with me, but I'm not... We'll do the worst thing first. What you want to do, Jim?
Well, I don't want to take a chance of losing the funding for all of them.
No, that's right.
By not changing it.
Let's go ahead and change it then. And then that will push the Spring Warrior Road back at number one.
Well, for next year,
we
could ask for Spring Warrior to be number one, Industrial number two, and then pick a new number three if that's what you wish to do.
Put it on the agenda.
Yeah.
Well,
is this an emergency?
They have to have an answer this week, and typically
declare an emergency. Then
we go into session.
All typically, right. it's a staff signature, which is the only reason.
It's still a decision, though. I'm trying to keep us out of trouble with regard to workshop. So
at this time,
can't make a decision anyway, can we, on it?
Yeah, we can declare this.
We can declare this an emergency.
It is, because you got to do it within a certain period of time. So one of y'all make the motion.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Now, make a motion by Commissioner Dips, second by Commissioner Murphy, that we declare a state of emergency to act on one item to answer the question for Florida Department of Transportation, where we reprioritize and make County Road 359A the number one priority road on the list, and that our administrator communicate that to them. That's the motion.
Okay. All right. That's that motion.
All right. That motion and the second.
I want to say one thing before we finish up on that. When a school bus is going down Spring Warrior Road and they meet a pontoon boat coming back from the boat ramp, the school bus has to run off the road. Or the boat has to run off the road. Or if they meet a log truck with a school bus, that's the call I've got. They're scared the children's gonna get hurt in the school bus that runs off that narrow road down there. And I want y'all to, in the future, remember that when the time comes to work on Spring Warrior Road. It is a narrow, dangerous road, especially with school buses and children. And But they didn't take that into consideration with their study. All they do is how many wrecks were on the road, how many people got hurt.
Any further discussion of the board? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. The motion carries, and we'll go back into workshop.
No, you got to go back and take action and put my family away first.
Right. All right.
Right.
Now, we declared a state of emergency. Mm-hmm. We did that, and we stated the reason why. Right. Now, after we've done that, that's what we voted on. Then we need to
make a motion.
County Road 359A, the number one on the priority list.
I move.
Motion by Stemps.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Murphy. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. The motion carries. So 359A is the number one priority. And now we can go back to the regular workshop session.
Thank you all.
All right.
Thank you all.
Thank you. We got it done. Two motions. Thanks for your help. How about to get where we're going there on that? But we got the business done. We're on number five. Commissioner Murphy wants to talk about littering.
Yes, sir. I want to bring to the county's attention the volume of trash. In the past month, I've traveled around all four corners of this county. And I've never seen this county in this big of a mess. And it's pretty shameful. It is. I felt ashamed. LaWanda and I discussed a couple measures here earlier on what are our probabilities. Where could we go with this? And we discussed the measure of attempting to contact Kevin Poole.
Puel.
Okay. Sorry about that. Kevin Puel that maintains and mows our soils. There's a gap between when they finish mowing and when they begin mowing. There's like about a five and a half months, about that.
And it's usually from late October, November till May.
Okay, so we have a gap in which trash is not being picked up. It's being sitting on the road.
That's because it's the winter months and we don't have a mowing site.
Understood. Now, not to mow, but to just pick up trash. Now, we discussed the measure of adjusting his contract and approaching him to find out what it would cost for him to provide a service during that gap period on just trash pickup. Now, I know this county can't really afford creating a work crew dedicated for that. We're not at that stage yet. But in the future, we're going to have that. I counted on Highway 51 from Steinhatchee to 27, and then Steinhatchee Beach Road up to 27 is 120 miles, if you count both sides of the road, trash. And those are our two focal points in this county for our tourist attraction. So, in the future, I think we need to seriously look about our trash.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to ask, you know, what would it cost us for an extra mowing cycle or just a trash pickup cycle? That would certainly help.
Absolutely.
Isn't there a part of his contract that where he picks up the garbage before he mows?
Right.
Uh-huh.
It is.
He does that.
But the problem is, you go down and pick it up on a mile road, and if he come back, he can pick up just as much garbage the second time he goes by.
Right.
But the more often you pick it up, it does.
We pick it up at our house every day.
After 5 months, it does get pretty messy.
Sure, said pretty bad picking up some.
They have been very responsive when I call them and ask them to pick up trash on certain roads. But I typically have to call when it gets too bad.
So we can approach Puel with and get an estimate from them, bring it back to the board to find out if that's feasible for the county.
We can direct, put this on the agenda at the next meeting. Board to ask our administrator to contact Care Puel about an extra mowing cycle or a trash pickup cycle.
I think I have that information.
Do you have authority to do that without the board of do an action in another meeting rather than a workshop meeting?
This was explored last year when we were looking at options uh-huh. to address this problem, and from what I understand, Mr. Puel was asked, to give us a ballpark idea about what it would cost to just have a countywide trash pickup. And
on roadways.
Correct. And that would be on the major collector roads that he already mows and picks up trash. And he gave us an estimate, and I don't know if it's changed since then. But I would think that prior to our budget workshops, that's information the staff could gather and present it to the board during our budget workshops. If you,
well, that would be the time we need to do it.
You're
the
right.
Budget, because we got it mowing cycles already scheduled mm-hmm. for the summer months. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah.
But when you have the gap between that winter month cycle,
yeah,
the trash is accumulating. We don't have to necessarily cut the grass because it's not growing at that time period. But the trash is it's getting pretty bad.
Thank you.
All right,
we do that for trash. That'll help some. All right, anything else on trash? Do we want anything on the agenda? Or are we just going to wait till the budget session?
Day to day.
Right.
You'll bring us some data.
Yeah.
Some numbers. All right, number five, the board to discuss the master project list. You've got that in your packet, I believe. So.
Do you need another one? It's a long sheet.
Yeah, I'm
folding it in half. It's in there. I just folded it. I have more.
I don't have one. I need one. I brought it in here.
I need one too. Okay.
But it was a longer sheet. So let's
it looks like this.
Was under construction a project name, the head?
Yeah, that's the sheet for the
under. Is everybody
in the number? There, is that it?
It should have been folded in half in your package.
Well, I had it. Right in front of me.
Do you have one?
I need one.
Oh, you need one? You have yours? Okay, let me go next.
I need one.
So I'm happy to say that in the last 6 months, this has gone from a four-page list to a two-page list.
Yeah, we're making progress.
Yes, sir. And I'll be happy to go line by line, or if you just want this for your information, whatever.
Let me wait and look at it. I don't think I went over. Oh, here it is. All right. I'm happy to report we're about half finished with our little concrete building in Harrison Blue.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know a lot about block land, but I gave the guy an A+. He's a skilled block man. He's not there today, but I took the trash off.
The purpose of this list is just to keep the board informed of some of the small projects, some of the larger projects. So you're aware of the progress that we're making. And as we complete the projects, we just take them off the list. So, and we have it separated into under construction, small projects, funded with a start date, conceptual, and road projects.
Okay. I don't think I have any questions. No, I think we're making a lot of progress. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, things like a solar farm, that's just a concept right now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and we've got the land, and we've got the trees cut, so we're just waiting for an opportunity to present itself.
So I think the purpose of projects like that being on the list is to help keep it on our radar. And it's something that we review with staff, every couple of weeks typically, and we talk through in our staff meeting and really try to get everyone's input and, like I said, keep it on the radar. Because I think one of the issues that I recall is that sometimes the board felt like we were kicking the can down the road.
Right.
By talking about things, and this is really just for accountability, I would say, and to keep the board informed.
Do we need to try to market this airport solar property? I mean, I've been to some presentation. I've been somebody who came here, they're looking for maybe 300 acres minimum, which we don't quite have that.
Right.
But somebody might be interested in it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how you market it.
There's a consultant, attorney firm in Tallahassee, uh-huh. in Tampa, that I talked to one time. They actually contact everybody that fills them. They do the legal part to make sure if somebody does get one that's done correctly and you got the right coverage and you get the right money for the
right lease. Yeah.
And the lease is took care of in a way that you don't get ripped off on.
Okay. You know?
And
well, that's why I'm asking.
Should we be with that proof of dilation to do that?
I don't
know the name out of him, but I got the paperwork at the house, and I'll get that to you, and then you might be contact them and see where they're at with that kind of stuff. I know there's a lot of airports that's got it, and it makes money for the airports, and it takes care of takes you off the tax roll. They get enough money out of a lease to take everything needs to be done at the airport. What I'm hearing.
And I know our airport manager is keeping that on his radar, and it could be that that's something that we can discuss with the TCDA even, and ask them, to help.
He's been talking to people here and there about it that's in that
district. There's one coming to Taylor County now, you know.
Sir?
There's one coming to Taylor County now. They're working on one. I talked with Duke Energy today.
Lawanda, explain to
the board
the talking on
the second page.
Oh. I'm
sorry.
Talking on the second. On the office renovations for the judge. That's going into an office that you have leased to somebody else. Well, that glass is going. Where do you want to put the glass? He wants to put the glass into the public defender's office. What an office. Yeah, and the public defender is coming to talk to me about it. So, I think that before the board makes a decision, you need to be talking to the person you got leased to.
And it could be that this original project was placed on our list because I think the judge was told that there was funding available and there might have been a miscommunication about the purpose of that funding. So I believe that
we could,
but I kept it on the list because we're still waiting to see if we receive any funding for courthouse security upgrades. And that project's kind of morphed into that. I might just need to rename it to Courthouse Security Upgrades.
Okay. Thanks again.
Okay.
And Jim, you want to pass that information on to Lawanda or Conrad?
I will.
Our airport person.
Well, I
worked that issue.
They did. Had a whole list of things that they did for to get and to get right direction. So I'd love to pass it on.
All right, number seven, the board to discuss boat ramp fees. I read what our tax collectors have put together there, and the correspondence you had. I don't have any appetite to spend a lot of time on trying to do anything with the boat ramp fees. I think we're fighting an uphill battle, and they want data that we can't provide.
That's what we keep running into. And I believe that when the board explored this last year, we got ahead of ourselves,
yeah.
Possibly without realizing that we do have to work through FWC. Mm-hmm. And so a commissioner had actually asked that this be placed on the agenda to explore whether or not the board wishes to look at that again, because the fee is low, and it's the pleasure of the board. Maybe something to keep in mind during budget workshops.
Well, if you put all that packet together here and reread it, the prognosis of being successful is very slim, and I don't want to dedicate that much effort and time, try to answer their questions.
And I believe that's why they haven't been
acquiring and charging. On the proposal they had there, out-of-county residents would pay more for a sticker for their boat trailer than in any county. They want to know, why are you doing that? I don't know why you're doing it to generate revenue. So
simple answer.
I just don't have any interest in pursuing it.
Well,
do
you have a handout that you
deal with
that?
Oh, I'm
sorry. Yeah, number
you can have mine.
Yeah, mine.
That's the one from Mark Wiggins.
Yeah, one from Mark Wiggins. Number seven. You got one?
Yeah.
And that was just to demonstrate what our tax collector came up against. Now, it could be that if the board wishes to increase the boat ramp fees for everyone, not just out-of-county residents, that it would not be as difficult, but we would still have to go through the exercise.
You got to justify what you need the extra money for, from what I read.
Right.
What crisis do you have at a boat ramp that you need to generate extra revenue for? So,
is that fee $5? That's what I saw down the spring water yesterday. So it's $5 everywhere.
Yes. Ms. Annie Mae, do you have any idea of the amount of revenue that has possibly been generated from writing citations?
We can go back and get it all because we got all of it. A lot of times they miss the stickers on there, and those people go to wherever they bought them from, bring us documentation that they have them, plus a picture of their permit. So lately we've had some Well, we can get that information from the board, how many is actually paid, and how many have been dismissed, or whatever.
I'm just wondering if that, you know, if that has increased our revenue collection by having enforcement, and if that's kind of resolved some of the issues that we felt like we had with people not even paying the $5.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Well, see, we can verify those envelopes because all of them get over there to Danielle when the money gets there. So if somebody says that they paid it, we can go back and pull it. You know, we found something that only put $2 in there, or whatever, and then they want to gripe about their fee. And we don't let them do that. You get the proper amount of $5 on the UPAC ticket.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. All right.
How many people, I was down there today, and I didn't see anybody collect it. You put it in the envelope and stick it in the box. Are you honest this time?
Yes.
Is that the way it is in Orange County, or is it different?
It's pretty much the honor system, or it becomes the dishonor system when you get caught, basically. So I know when we have our boat ramp attendance during the summer down at the beaches, I think it helps maybe increase the collection.
Well, sure, but
it makes a noticeable difference.
Yes.
Quite a bit of difference. All kind of little tricks. I used to sell watermelons about the side of the road on the owner's system. I know all the tricks. Hey, increase your collections. All of you parking old truck out there. Out there by a watermelon stand. Live there all day and you'll collect double like that.
Put a mannequin in there, you can even get more.
That's probably good. I found in my money box, I found oak leaves. Matchbooks, private notes from friends. I only stole 5 watermelons today. And they signed somebody else's name. But it was fun. Anything from the public?
Thank you.
All right. You be quiet tonight.
Appreciate what y'all do. You got some tough decisions.
Tough decisions.
I worked, dude.
All right, we don't need to make a motion to adjourn. We're finished.
Here we are.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank y'all. Mm-hmm. Y'all got good. Yeah.
Sorry I missed church Sunday. We were out of town at the beach. Who we got coming next week, Sunday? This Sunday. This church.
Jim May. Father May.
Father May's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, he's month to month.
Month to month.
Month to month.
I like him. I like him. Just keep him longer than pay. That's his Episcopal Church. The Episcopal Church.
Oh, God.
We regular priest has retired.
Yes.
And we got a retired priest from Monticello.